Good evening. Thank you very much, Rabbi Eli Maimon, for bringing me in. Thank you for your technical assistance and for your shiurim as well. And of course, we want to give a shout out and a special thank you to the one and only Jake Weinman, for his creation of SheerEnjoyment.com and for his graciousness in having me, giving me the opportunity to say a little Dvar Torah every Monday night. And we want to thank our sponsor who has graciously dedicated this year, L'Zeche U'Lu'ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. He is Neshama Hav Naliyah. And we again thank all of the people who have come together to make this possible, and most importantly, to those who listen. The listeners who participate in the learning are especially deserving of a very big thank you. This week we have Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach is a very interesting parasha, to say the least. Machlokes, a horrible today's terminology. We have a whole new vocabulary in America. We can call it insurrection. It was an insurrection against the leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. An ugly stain on our history, where a group of people led by Korach, Dothan V'Aviron, the 250 members of the tribe of family of Korach, they all came together to rebel against Moshe. And it appears from Chazal that many members of Klal Yisrael were supporting them, were rooting for them. And we're not exactly sure where things were headed. Very, very difficult to kufa in the history of Klal Yisrael. I want to focus on it for a few moments, the role of Dothan V'Aviram. It's very interesting that Dothan V'Aviram here play a major role. Their names are mentioned multiple times. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to negotiate, or as Rashi says, to make peace with Korach and his followers, he looked towards Dothan V'Aviram to be peacemakers, people that he can speak to, who he can negotiate with, to use as a tool, method to get to Korach and to persuade Korach to stand down. Let's look at some of the psukim. Psukim over here, just to bring out this point. We come to Korach, and right away in the beginning of the parasha, we learn that this group of people, Baikach Korach, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, V'Dothan V'Aviram, B'nei Eliyav, V'Oin Ben Peles, B'nei Ruvein. They're mentioned in the very, very first parasha. Even though Korach was the appointee, the one that they wanted to replace Moshe with, but the team, the ringleaders, were going to make this happen was Dothan V'Aviram. There's On Ben Peles. We know On Ben Peles, the story with his wife. His wife convinced him to stand down. And then there were also another 250 people. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu know the story. Well, they complain. And Moshe speaks to Korach. And Korach says, nothing doing. And then we come in contact with Dothan V'Aviram. And in the beginning of the second Aliyah, we will end the end of the first Aliyah of Yishlach Moshe Likroi to call the Dothan V'La'aviram. B'nei Aliyah V'Yomru Loinale. And they respond with chutzpah, we will not come and speak to you. And they complain. And they say, it's bad enough. Hamad ki helisad v'yotz v'aschol v'dvash l'amishin b'amidbar. It's bad enough that you took us out of the desert, out of Egypt, a land that was zavas, chol v'dvash, a land, they calling Egypt here, a land that flows with milk and honey. And you brought us to a desert to die. And now you lord over us. Kisistorer oleinu gam historer. You've become a master, a dictator, a ruler. What have you done, Moshe? It's not bad enough that you've taken almost 3 million people from a land that flows with milk and honey, namely Egypt, and brought us to a desert, a wasteland, for us to die and wither away. That's not enough. That's not enough of a crime. You also now want to take away our freedom. You want to become a totalitarian dictator. And then they go on in the next pasuk. They say that, what have you done? You did not bring us into the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael, but instead, and according to Rashi, you did not even give us a vineyard. You did not even provide fields. And then they say something very, very interesting. Ha'inei ho'anoshim ho'heim tenaker loy na'ale. We will loosely translate this to mean, even if the eyes of those people would be plucked out of their sockets, we would still not come and speak to you. They were cursing themselves in an indirect way that there's nothing to negotiate. We will not come to you and listen to you, even if you were to send officers, to send mercenaries that would pluck at our eyes, give us a choice. Either you come and speak to Moshe, and if not, we will punish you by plucking out your eyes. Even if we were given that choice, the answer would be they should take out our eyes. We will not come to you under any condition. What a gruesome metaphor or a gruesome example they're saying to express to Moshe their hate for him and their disdain. And under any condition, they will not come and negotiate with Moshe Rabbeinu. There are no other terms a person can find to say to Moshe that under no condition will we come and speak to you. Do they have to go give this metaphor of their eyes being uprooted and all of that which connotes the imagery? What is going on over here? And then later he goes on to say that when the punishment came upon them, their names are mentioned once again. Moshe was very upset. And when they brought the Ketores, Moshe was misspelled that Hashem should not accept the Ketores. And then says the end of the pasuk, the end of the story, Vatiftach haaretz espia, vativla oisam, them, v'yes boteihem, their homes, v'yes kol ha'odam asher l'korach. And all the people that were to Korach. Now, I'm not exactly sure of what this means, but it would appear the fact that we break up then, and then we mention all of the people that were connected to Korach, it would appear almost that the entire curse was primarily directed to Dothan v'Aviram. At the end of the story, in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, Vayeolu me'al mishkan Korach, Dothan v'Aviram, misaviv, Vidason v'Aviram, Yatzu, they came forth, Nitzavim, Pesach Oholehem, Unesheim, Uvenem, Uvetapam, Vayoimer Moshe. And Moshe addresses this entire curse about the earth opening up its mouth and swallowing them up and expressing that if they will die a natural death, then you'll know that Hashem did not send me. But if Hashem creates a new form of death that did not exist in the past, that is a sign that Hashem has sent me. What is this going on here? Hashem has sent me? What is there something more going on over here? So I would like to suggest the following insight. To really understand what's happening in Parshas Korach, especially with regard to Dothan v'Aviram, who was the entire force and promoters of Korach, you have to go back to the very first time that Dothan v'Aviram appears in the Torah. And we all know that to be at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was growing up in the palace and he witnessed an Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian, kill a Jew. Shlomith, we have the story there, Vayar Ish Mitzri. There was an Ish Mitzri, and this Ish Mitzri, he killed a Jew. Well, we read the pasuk, Vahi Bayam and Mohem. Rashi goes through the whole story. It doesn't mean, I'm sorry, I take it back, I made a mistake. It does not mean that he actually killed this person. This Ish Mitzri he hit. Rashi there says, Malkeu Viroidehu. Who was this Ish Mitzri? This Ish Ivri? She was the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri. Okay, Rashi there explains the story. Fine. What happens the next day? The next day it says Vayetz B'yom Hasheni. V'hine shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. There were two Jewish men fighting. Vayomer lo rosha, Moshe says to the wicked one, Lama sakereich, why are you hitting your friend? And Rashi says, what does it mean, Reyechad? You're both Rishoyim. Who are these two people? Dathan v'Aviram. They were fighting. And Moshe calls them both wicked. How do they respond? Vayomer, mi samcha l'ish sar v'shefet olein. Who made you in charge? Who made you the boss? Who sent you to tell us what to do? Can you imagine? Here back in Parshas Shemos, the very, very beginning of Moshe's career as a leader, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes out for the very first time, before anything, before he was sent away as a fugitive to Midian, where he remained until he was 80 years old, the very first time Moshe Rabbeinu rose up as a leader to protect his own, these two people stand up and say to him, who are you? Who appointed you to be a sar, a shefet olenu? Are you going to kill us? Ata oimer, with your words? Rashi says, with the Shem Hashem. Kasher horakta es hamitzri. Just like you killed the Mitzri yesterday. Now wait a minute. How did they know that Moshe killed the Mitzri yesterday? Yesterday, it says explicitly in the Pasuk, Vayifen koi v'choi, Vayar kienish. Before Moshe proceeded to execute the Mitzri for his crime, Moshe inspected the surrounding area. Rashi says, Lefi pshutai. There are many perushim as what this means, but Rashi also mentions it means simply he looked around to determine if there was any pair of eyes watching what he was about to do. Moshe turned here and there, and he was certain that no one is watching what is about to happen. He is about to execute the Mitzri. And Moshe was mistaken, because there were two people that were watching. Their eyes were looking and observing Moshe kill the Mitzri. And they said to Moshe, they blackmailed Moshe, you're going to punish us? You're going to give us Musar? We will inform on you. We will tell over the story. We will present the evidence of exactly what you did to the Mitzri. You think no one was watching? We were watching. We have over here the very, very first moments of Moshe Rabbeinu maturing into a leader. And there are two people who are watching. Their eyes were watching. And they threatened Moshe. This koyach, this chutzpah, it only grew and matured all these years. They kept this hate, disdain for Moshe, and the memories of what they witnessed with their eyes all the way until this point of time, which this event took place at least in the third year in the desert. So this could have taken place even 80 years later. Not 80 years exactly, let's say 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, I'm not sure of the exact, at least 43 years, that's for sure. The question is how much more. And now we have a new appreciation when they said to Moshe, Moshe, even if you would poke out our eyes, even if we did not witness the crime of what you did to that Mitzri on that day, when you turned Vayifen Koi V'Choi, even without that, we would still stand up here today and reject you. Certainly, knowing that you are a criminal from day one, that's only more of a reason why we want to reject you, because we never accepted you as a leader, not then and not now. In other words, trying to interpret the pasuk here homiletically. Hainei ho'anashim ho'ele tenaker lo'inale. Our gripe with you now in what you have done by appointing your brother Aaron as the Kohen Gadol is not the only complaint we have against you.
we have a complaint against you from time immemorial. And even if you were to somehow, in hindsight, pluck out our eyes, the eyes that saw what you did when you thought no one was watching, when the pasuk says, Vayithin koi v'choi, Vayar ki einish, and the truth was, there were two people watching you, what you did. Even if you would take away that episode in your life, which we know, that you know, that we know, we would still have what to say about you and to reject you. These words are indeed very precise. They're returning to the original complaint. Ni samcha l'sar v'shofet oleinu hal hargeinu ato oimer. And now this changes the dynamics of everything. Because now when Moshe Rabbeinu are coming to be mispalul to Hashem to put an end to these wicked people, Moshe is not coming to punish them for what they did to him now. Moshe is coming to punish them for what they did to him 40, 50 years ago. 40, 50 years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu did an act of nobility. He saved a Jew. A Jew was being tortured. A Jew was being harassed. Moshe Rabbeinu came to the defense of this Jew. And these two individuals have the chutzpah, the audacity, to say to Moshe, what did you do? You saved a Jew at the expense of taking the life of an Egyptian. We're going to inform on you. We're going to the king. We're going to tell him what you did because you are telling us what to do now. The crime of Dothan v'Aviram then, 40, 50 years ago, their crime of how they spoke to Moshe and how they betrayed their own fellow Jew was very grave. But for whatever the reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had pity upon them. And Hashem did not punish them. In fact, it's ironic. The only reason why they survived was because they did the same thing themselves. They were the noxim. When Paro demanded that the Jews collect the straw and produce the quota of bricks, and the Jews were unable to do so, it was Dothan v'Aviram who willingly took the hit. They were beaten for the lack of service, for their fellow Jews not filling the quota of brick. But yet when it came to Moshe, they weren't so kind to Moshe when Moshe saved another Jew. Now, when they're coming and they're repeating the crime again and they're bringing the entire Jewish people into an ugly machlokes, Moshe Rabbeinu does exactly what he wanted to do to them then. Hal hargeini ato oimer. Are you, what they said back then, 40, 50 years ago, will you kill us with your words? And Moshe is saying now, yes, I will. I will be mispalel to Hashem. In Bria Yivra Hashem, Hashem should create something new. It's only through the words of Moshe that these individuals will die. It will be indeed, Hal Hargeini Ato Oimer, as a statement, not as a rhetorical question. That's right. I will now pray to Hashem that you should be swallowed up. And that will prove that originally, yes, I am a sar and a shofet oleinu. When it comes to help another Jew, when it comes to save the life of another Jew, you don't have to be special. You don't have to have a position. Every single person should look at himself as a sar and a shofet when it comes to save another fellow Jew. That's right. Hashem has sent me to be here to see what's going on in order to protect my fellow Jew. And indeed, I will now take your life with words, words of prayer, to create something new to prove my authenticity. Not now, 40, 50 years ago. The whole conversation of Korach is just a disguise. It's all camouflage for an old feud between Moshe and Dasan Va'avira. This is really not about Korach. It's about Dasan Va'avira. Moshe now is coming to settle the score. There's no one more forgiving and gracious than Moshe. Moshe never looked for this, never asked for this fight. And when they acted up, Moshe begged them to come, let's talk, let's have peace. But when they came back for a second round, 40, 50 years, Moshe Rabbeinu just continued the conversation where they left off 40, 50 years ago and spoke to them and was speaking the language that they were speaking back then. It's like, Ein muktum u'me'uchar b'torah, there's no order in the Torah. There was just a delay all these years, and now we continue the conversation. Korach! And 250 people, this is just camouflage, it's just a disguise for the real issues between Dothan, Vavim, and Moshe. Or Moshe lets it be known, you have to save another Jew. You can't sit back and watch your fellow Jew, an individual, suffer. And even that point where Moshe wasn't recognized as the leader of the Jewish people, he was a young man growing up in the home of Paro. That's right. I'm a tsar and I'm a shofet when it comes to witnessing the suffering of another Jew. And I will not tolerate a dasan v'aviram to get in my way. If you want to get out of my way, fine. I'll forgive you and I'll be gracious and kind and help you. But if you don't want to play nice, there are consequences. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful evening. And we only merit take out of this parsha blessing and success in our relationships with other people, friends, family, rabbonim, and everything in between. Thank you. Have a good night. All the best to you all. Take care.